The epistle for the Feast of the Holy Family is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. Brethren, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a grievance against any other, even as the Lord has forgiven you, so also do you forgive. But above all these things, have charity, which is a bond of perfection. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts. Unto that peace, indeed, you were called in one body. Show yourselves thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly. In all wisdom, teach and admonish one another by psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing in your hearts to God by His grace. Whatever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And the Gospel is taken from that of St. Luke. When Jesus was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And after they had fulfilled the days, when they were returning, the boy Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents did not know it. But thinking that he was in the caravan, they had come a day's journey before it occurred to them to look for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem in search of him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why hast thou done this to us? Behold, in sorrow thy father and I have been seeking thee." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" And they did not understand the words which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these things carefully in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and men. Thus are the words of today's Gospel. And rising, he went with his mother and his foster father to Nazareth and was subject to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we keep the Feast of the Holy Family, a feast which was instituted by Pope Leo XIII and wasn't extended to the entire universal church calendar until as recently as 1921. And this was done because of the dangers which were increasingly threatening the Catholic families of the modern time. And we can look back now over 90 years later and certainly see that the need for this feast has certainly not lessened at all. And so today, as an antidote to this evil example of society, we are to turn our attention to the perfect model of a holy family, that of St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary and the Christ child. The episode of today's Gospel gives us a chance to consider the virtuous way that Mary and Joseph lived as parents of Christ. When Jesus was 12 years old, Mary and Joseph took him up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast of the Passover. Now, all male Jews were required to go to the temple for 3 main feasts, that of the Passover, that of Pentecost, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. The women were entirely exempt from this obligation, but it was binding on only the men and the boys who were at least 12 years old and up. But we see that the entire Holy Family, Jesus, Joseph, and Mary, made the trip to the temple on this occasion to celebrate the Pasch, a distance of around 75 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And so here the Holy Family gives us an edifying example to imitate. The difficult time that they spent on the road alone would have been several days. It takes us but a fraction of this time to come to church. But sadly, we see around us many Catholics who refuse to be bothered by coming to Mass on Sundays or holy days. They make themselves accountable before God for not placing Him first in their life. But not only should we see in Jesus and Joseph's trip to Jerusalem an example of fulfilling the required obligations to God, but we should also see the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was not required to attend the Passover. She did not need to make this laborious 75-mile journey, but she did so. We are not required to attend weekday Mass. We're not required to make holy hours. But we should be opportunistic. When the time is there for us to do so, we should take advantage of it by coming to church, by coming to Mass as a family, by making use of our opportunities to come to holy hour, to come to benediction, by spending our leisure time doing good works, even if they aren't commanded by God. When the Paschal celebration came to an end, St. Luke tells us that Mary and Joseph returned. The child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, though, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey and sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem, seeking him. The Pasch lasted for 7 days. And so after the entire week had gone by, Mary and Joseph departed from Jerusalem, not realizing that Christ had remained behind. But they can hardly be blamed for this apparent carelessness. For they traveled in a large group which had the men separated from the women. And so it was not until the end of the entire day of traveling that Mary and Joseph realized that our Lord was not with them. Joseph naturally thought that our Lord was with his mother. And the same with Our Lady. She thought that he had come with St. Joseph. And even when they both had reunited at the end of the day, it wasn't until the very last stragglers had come in that they realized that Christ was not with some of the extended family. And so it was only after everyone in the caravan had arrived that Joseph and Mary realized Christ had gone missing. This loss was not their fault. In contrast, if we should ever lose Christ, it must be through our fault, because we can only lose him through sin. By committing a mortal sin, Christ is forced to depart from the soul, and it falls into the powers of the devil. What are all of the things of this world worth in comparison to that precious gift of Christ's presence in us? How much is given up when Christ is forced out of the soul of one of his baptized faithful? We can honestly say that the loss of Christ is worse than to lose everything else that we have, including our very lives. But somehow, there are still so many souls blinded and tricked into giving up Christ for the meager benefits that this world has to offer. They act content and happy at their tiny gains, when they should be crying tears of sorrow at the tremendous loss. What is my reaction to those lost souls? Do I allow family or others under my care to live a life of sin for years on end without making any effort to help them? Or do I search them out as soon as I can to try to help them, try to help those who are wandering about? What an account will such parents have to render before God if they neglect their duties? Now, as soon as Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus was missing, St. Luke tells us that they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Should we have the misfortune of falling into mortal sin, and should we lose Christ, let us not remain in this state. Search him out immediately. Seek his forgiveness. For our eternal welfare depends upon finding Jesus Christ as soon as we possibly can. Mary and Joseph did not find Christ among his family. They did not find him among his acquaintances. They didn't find him in the streets of Jerusalem. They found him in the temple, in his father's house, among the elders. And if we search for Christ among the worldly, if we search for Christ among the noise and the distractions, the entertainment, the pleasures of this world, we won't find him there either. Where will we find Christ? The same place as his mother and father did. We'll find him in the house of his father. We'll find him here, waiting for us in the tabernacle. We'll find him when we come to receive him at the communion rail. We find him in our steady, consistent prayer. And after finding the child, the Blessed Virgin respectfully asks him, "Why hast thou done this to us? We have sought thee in sorrow." This loss of our Lord was the greatest suffering that the Blessed Virgin Mary ever had to endure. It was even more sorrowful for her than when she stood beneath the cross at Calvary. From Calvary, she knew that Christ's suffering was not her fault. It was the will of God. But when she lost her 12-year-old child, she could not help but doubt that she may have been guilty for some fault which had led Christ to removing himself from her presence. And this fear we see mirrored in all of the saints. This fear that we should ever cause our Lord to leave our presence. This fear leads us to even being repelled at the smallest of faults, anything at all which would displease our Lord. And we would consider even these small things to be a great tragedy, just as the Blessed Virgin saw our Lord's absence from her as a great tragedy. Just as this sensitiveness of the soul and repulsion from sin is a model we should seek to attain in particular, so also the example of the Holy Family is what we should seek to follow in general. They spent their days in work and in prayer, doing not only what was required by law, but going beyond law. Mary and Joseph desired the Christ child's presence, and for this reason they feared ever to offend him. Let us look upon every day as an opportunity to imitate these actions, being mindful of the presence of God and always remembering the evil and the sorrows which are the consequence of sin, the loss of Christ. God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.